Hey, listeners, what's this? An offside rule coming to you before Friday? Well, yes and no. We actually wanted to bring you our North London Derby special because we loved it so much and we really hope that you do too. It's all your usual offside rule antics, but with a huge women's football weekend thrown into the mix. Plus, you can find out what happened when we set up camp at the new Spurs Stadium and both the Arsenal and Tottenham managers popped in to say hello. And muted question, is there any improvement in Lindsay's solid grasp of the French language again? We'll have to tune in to find out more about that. Anyway, enjoy. And if you really like it, subscribe to our WSL edition. It's on its own feed. Just search WSL edition on your preferred podcasting app. OK, let's head then into the biggest crowd in Women's Super League history.
Full-time whistle has gone at the Spurs Stadium, and that's where we bring you this week's WSL edition of the Offside Rule. Kate Borsay and Lindsay Hooper with you, and it's great to soak up this atmosphere on a record-breaking occasion, Kate.
It certainly is. We've got the highest attendance here in the WSL today, Lindsay. We've broken the season-opening record from that Manchester derby with 38,262 here, and the atmosphere, as you said, has been brilliant. Really good build-up from Spurs, and the crowd have really been enjoying themselves.
They have. It's a shame that the majority of the home crowd didn't get to see a home goal.
Yeah.
It was actually Arsenal who ran out 2-0 winners, but both late on goals in the second half, because you have to give credit to Spurs here. They really did contain them for most of this match, and it was pretty tight.
Yeah, it was, and I think Spurs have showed their big game experience here today. They've already played at Stamford Bridge and at the London Stadium, and having spoken to someone behind the scenes today, she said actually the team were really calm before kickoff, which is a great indication. So yeah, great for them. I thought that they were very evenly matched in the first half. Maybe Spurs had the better. They looked a bit perkier, perhaps looked like they wanted it a little bit more. But you know, you can't get past Joe Montemurro's tactical nous, can you? We saw it in the first half as he tried a few combinations, but in the second half, really, Spurs started to get tired, I think, and Arsenal came into their own.
You mentioned Joe Montemurro there. I mean, I think producer Abby and I counted about five different formations that he tried throughout this match, and that actually reflects the way that Spurs were playing so well, because they just could not break them down. They couldn't make that breakthrough, Arsenal, despite being the superior team, you'd think, with history taken into consideration and the sort of seasons that they've had the last couple. They were expected to come here and potentially walk it, but the big occasion and the players stepped up, and I do want us to give credit to the Spurs players, but let's talk about the goals as well, because...
Well, it took just over an hour, didn't it, for Arsenal to get on the score sheet. Kim Little with a lovely goal, actually, weaving away from left to right and then left again on the edge of the penalty area, provided for by Miedemar. Picked her spot, Kim Little, and then into the back of the net to put the visitors ahead.
First goal, I think the crunch one. I think Kim Little keeping ahead. We had a couple of occasions in the first half where Arsenal did come close, but equally, you know, there was the Dean chance from Spurs, Kit Graham. There didn't seem to be that finishing touch. Let's also mention the fitness factor, because I think that actually came into play in the final 20 minutes of this match. Arsenal did look superior in that department. You did see the Spurs players starting to tire, and that's when Arsenal managed to reap their rewards.
Yeah, definitely the last 15-20, Lindsay. Arsenal were very much in control, and we saw the result of that from Miedemar, although it was a bit of a gift to her, really, wasn't it? There was a mistake by Anna Philby for that one, who misdirected a back pass into Miedemar's path.
We have to mention that right now we're looking out onto the pitch here at the Spurs Stadium, such an impressive stadium, and this will be a great memory for us, Kate, because it's our first time here, and the players at the moment going round to their section of fans, the Arsenal players over in the Arsenal corner showing their appreciation. Yeah. This is something that we're used to seeing in the women's game. They go over, they have their photos, they sign the autographs. It's happening over there as well at the Spurs end. We can see they're all going round giving a lap and a round of applause.
Yeah, it's a very special occasion, Lindsay, and I think, you know, this is such a great advert for women's football. I know we say it a lot, but it's easy for it to go wrong. It's easy for people not to turn up, but they did today. And I think you can probably tell by the buzz that's going on around us, and we're in the media area, so we're a little removed from the bulk of the stadium and where all the action is. But yeah, a wonderful effort from both teams. And I think, you know, Spurs will be disappointed, But for most of that game, they were par on par.
For those of you wondering as well, this was given the full-on treatment by Spurs in terms of hospitality, in terms of the experience, match day experience.
We like those halftime cookies, didn't we?
We love the halftime cookies. I love the food pre-match. We could talk about the food. But also, we've had live broadcasters here. BT Sport are down there in front of us at the moment.
We're just looking at Dan Carter in front of us, aren't we?
They're doing all of their final time reports, and they've had a lovely TV studio to keep warm, which I was rather jealous of, because they have got the gloves out for the first time today.
Well, I've gone gloveless.
Fingerless.
I'd like to say that that's some achievement, seeing as Lindsay's from further north. You are more the northerner than I, Lindsay Hoover. So we have both got the bobble hats on.
That means
on.
I should be used to it, Kate. That's what it means.
Listen, we've got loads coming up in the show, haven't we, Lindsay? We're going to be catching up with Jen O'Neill, who I know has been doing comms here for the BBC. We're also going to be hearing from full-time at the Chelsea game, as well as they played Manchester United, as well as summing up all the other action today.
Yes, of course, we are talking through the week that saw a record-breaking first WSL North London derby, where we've been here reporting live on the day, and the first Merseyside derby at Anfield. We'll have all of that coming up in the show.
This is the Offside Rule WSL edition from Muddy Knees Media. We've decamped to one of the flash interview zones at the new stadium at Spurs. It's a lovely environment to be in. Even lovelier for Joe Montemurro, who's just come straight out down the tunnel to do the press conference. We've managed to catch him. Joe, first of all, I wanted to ask about your formation switches, because I don't think I've ever seen so many, but you tried everything in that first half.
Yeah, look, our positioning wasn't good in the first half, and we got caught in areas that were you know, a little bit risky. So we just had to overload certain areas to assist that. And as I said, there was a couple of situations there where we got caught with bad positioning, and balls were played into risky areas, and we got caught in transition. And, you know, Tottenham probably had a very good chance in the first half.
You did persevere, and Spurs tired as well. Your goal's coming after the hour mark. Just describe what it was like to be part of the occasion here, though, at the Spurs Stadium.
It's always a difficult question to answer, because you're so engrossed in what we're trying to do, you know, on the pitch, and worried about, you know, the group and the players and stuff. But look, it was a special occasion, and you know, we made sure that the players, you know, were part of creating a little bit of history today. And you know, what a great showcase for the game. And you know, I hope we have many more to come in the years to come.
Was that a captain's performance, do you think, from Kim Little?
Yeah, Kim doesn't talk much, but she talks with goals like that, so absolutely.
I thought she missed an opportunity, though, for some iconic photographs after she scored. She was sort of swallowed in a huddle of players, but it was a great performance from her.
That was the voice as well that you heard of Jen O'Neill, who's also managed to sneak in. We've got a thoroughfare of people coming through this area. Can I also get your thoughts on Sam Kerr? Being Australian, I wondered about that transfer to Chelsea and your thoughts on that for the WSL.
I don't know Sam personally. I've played against her a couple of times, and you know, she has some great qualities as a player. And look, I mean, obviously, from an Australian perspective, we need a lot of our Matildas and a lot of our players playing in the top leagues in Europe, because that's how we're going to develop. And you know, hopefully, that with Sam coming over, it could be the start of a few other top quality Australian players coming through. But look, I mean, it just indicates the league and how the growth of the league, and you know, that a lot of big players want to come and play for the big clubs in the WSL.
There is so much interest from around the world now, and that's because of occasions like this. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So as Joe Montemurro moves on to do the press conference, I can hear Karen Hills as well in the corridor, but we'll get Jen O'Neill's thoughts first on the match. You were doing co-coms today.
Yeah, working with Caroline Barker, and I sort of feared for Spurs after the sort of first 10 minutes, because Arsenal had a lot of the ball. And then I was so impressed, because they really did work their way back into it. They had to turn it into a physical contest to do that. And it took Abigail Byrne having a word with Rachel Furness and a couple of other, Josie Green as well, the Tottenham midfielders, referee saying, you know, calm it, no more of that. So they backed off a little bit. But by that point, they'd actually earned the right to be competing. They'd started to calm down a bit. And I really did feel like they should have maybe been ahead at the half time. Kit Graham certainly had the best chance of one-on-one with Manuela Zinsberger, and the keeper doing really well to keep that out.
Yeah.
Rhianna Dean as well, she come in that first half, and I felt like you, Jen, pretty evenly matched. You're editor of She Kicks magazine, we should add that in, so you are a veteran of women's football, so we're, you know, really, really pleased to have you on. And how nice to be talking about a North London derby in front of over 38,000 people.
Well,
here,
this was a bit embarrassing actually on air, because we just heard the crowd size read out, and I went, whoa, you know, you can't help it, it just comes out. So that's not with the microphone to my mouth. I am a professional, nearly. But at that point, Caroline asked me a question, so I turned to answer it and missed Anna Philby with the horrendous back pass, which led Viviana Miedemar scored the second goal from, which really was a shame, I felt, because, OK, Arsenal quality told in the end, and I know we wouldn't argue that they maybe didn't deserve to win, but 2-0 felt a little bit harsh on Spurs, the way that they'd battled in that game.
I think they definitely tired, didn't they? And I was also, I think we were willing Gemma Davison to come on, because we're so desperate to see her, knowing that she'd be so desperate to come on. We know she's taken part in a couple of training sessions, but by the time she'd come on, Spurs were already 2-0 down. It just felt like a bit of a shame. But
Before Kim Little broke the deadlock, sorry, with a great finish. I mean, she just she's the catalyst so often to that team doing things. They have quality all over the field, don't they? But she sometimes can sense the urgency, and she just steps it up, and she did that again in a big way. And I think sometimes we forget that she is world class because she's surrounded by players that capture our attention so often. But I was going to say, at that point Spurs were thinking about making changes, so they had Ayane and they had Quinn warming up, and I think that just totally changed the balance of what they were trying to do.
Knowing you for quite a few years, there have been these landmarks that the women's game has reached, and I know for a fact that you get a little bit emotional about them. Have you had that again?
On the way to the ground, I did.
I did too. Yeah.
It was sort of quelled by the fact that we had to stand outside for 30, 40 minutes waiting to get in.
Did
so
you?
That well, that's another matter.
They should have rolled out the red carpet. Jen.
At Wembley on Saturday, I didn't quite get the buzz I've had before. You know, cup finals, when they started playing the women's cup final at Wembley, that was cool. 2012, me and Catherine Ito, who's worked with me for a long time, she was bawling her eyes out looking down Olympic Way for the Team GB Brazil game. But I got that today. Just that, I mean, it's an amazing stadium. Everybody will keep saying that, but we keep breaking records, it feels. And it just feels like, well, okay, 38,000, that's incredible. When we're going to beat that? Because it'll be soon. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
And the one thing that you cannot change is that first experience for those young children that came in, and maybe it was their first football match, maybe it was their first women's football match, or maybe it was just, you know, a special occasion with their parents. They're never going to forget that. And it's catching them, isn't it, early on?
And I think what was lovely as well was you see the Arsenal players go over to the travelling fans, 3,000 Arsenal fans, away fans, and that connection they have with the team. At the World Cup in the summer, the real standout moments for me were the number of England fans travelling to France to cheer on the Lionesses, and the same with other nations.
And it's that lovely thing where friends are being made, aren't they? Bonds are being formed between fans who've never met each
other
before.
Absolutely, and it just galvanises the support. And there's a lot of talk about maybe not wanting tribalism. It doesn't have to be tribalism to be passionate and have a connection with your team and with other fans.
Well, there's a little bit of discussion with Manchester United women around tribalism, and maybe we'll talk about them a little bit later on as we look at all the other games. We are going to carry on hearing from this match. We'll have some post-match interviews. We'll also have anyone else that producer Abby can grab in the corridor here at Spurs.
She is currently lurking
sliding
by
tackles.
But let's move on to some of the other results, because it was branded the Women's Football Weekend. It maybe should have been the Women's Football Sunday. But Liverpool versus Everton, which was the other big one, played at Anfield. First Merseyside derby at Anfield for that one. And it had a sold out allocation for the game. Let's start with the figures there, because obviously we know that Anfield holds a lot more, but 23,500 at that match, Jen.
Yeah, which is brilliant. I think sold out, we have to use the word distributed, I think, would be better in
sold
the future.
Sold out the allocation.
Yeah, it can be a little bit, because as soon as you get the naysayers involved, and blimey, there are lots, they'll all start picking at it. Oh, but you gave tickets away. Look, 23,500 people went to Anfield to watch a women's football match. Well, that's brilliant news. What I'm hearing from the game, though, sadly, is that you want Liverpool to get a result. They really need a result. And I hear that they played really well.
They did play really, really well, actually. And they were denied an early goal after a great save by the Everton keeper, Corpella. She got her fingertips to it, and it was an awesome save by all accounts. But it was really a horror goalkeeping moment that led to Everton's goal. One and only goal in this one. The result, 1-0 to Everton. And Liverpool's goalkeeper, Anke Preuss, just an absolute howler, really. Lucy Graham pounced on a loose clearance from Niamh Fahey, and Preuss's mistake gave Everton the early lead. So it was a bit of a calamitous way to lose the game.
Which is a blow for Anke, because she's been playing so well in the opening stages of the season, and I saw her a lot at Sunderland before she moved to Liverpool, and she doesn't make mistakes like that very often. The handling mistake is a...
Do you think just a little bit of stage fright? I mean, I hate to say that,
what the
because
conditions
it sounds
are like
an obvious thing, doesn't it? Playing at Anfield, did that then freak her out? But it could just have been a goalkeeper error, and of course when you've got that much responsibility in that position, of course you're going to make mistakes.
And when things aren't going well for you and aren't going right for you, then these kind of depressing things continue to happen. Exactly.
Shall we say it as it is? Because it feels heartbreaking, this result. The fact that as well that they came so close early on to getting a goal, Liverpool, to come away losing 1-0, it doesn't matter. They've not got any points from this match. And they're still winless. Is that the nail in the coffin?
I don't think it's a nail in the coffin, but there's something that needs to be reversed very, very quickly. From Willie Kirk's point of view, the Everton manager, it's vindication, because he was quite bullish before the game, wasn't he? We're a better team, we're going to win this. I kind of quite admire somebody coming out and saying how they feel, because not often do you actually get managers doing that.
Well, and actually Everton have needed that belief, because they've had such a tough time, and it was always going to be, we were always hoping for good things this season from Willie Kirk. I think he's producing the goods, and you've got to look at even though we're only six games in, look at the table position. Everton are in fourth.
You just don't know what that's going to do for confidence though, do you? I mean, it does look like it could be now a shootout between Birmingham and Liverpool.
It could be, because Brighton's result, which I'm sure you'll go on to, was pretty impressive. But does this flag it up to say this is a club that has a team that's won a European title and is top of the Premier League? Help you if you really care about your women's team, help them.
Yeah, I've been on my soapbox about that this week, because I'm a Liverpool fan and I feel a bit disgusted that at no point this season, as far as I know, has anyone from Liverpool Football Club, the organisation, come in and gone up to Vicky Jepson and said, this isn't going right, what can we do to support you? Because you can't just alienate Vicky Jepson. They haven't performed awfully, Liverpool. They just, things haven't been working for them. And that's what's really annoyed me, is that for a club of Liverpool's size, someone needs to go in and say, how can we support you? How can we reverse this?
Someone needs to actually step up with cash, don't they? I mean, we've seen...
I don't know
we'll
whether it's cash
Sam
or
Kirk.
It's coaching help. I don't know what they need, but I know that they're not getting enough support.
They have got a few recognisable names, but I mean, in terms of stellar lineup, it isn't, you know, you take the 1-11 for Arsenal in comparison.
And the bench.
Yeah, and the bench. And surely more funds need to be available for this Liverpool side. Let's get Karen Hills in. We started a conversation in the corridor as we were coming out, and I was talking to you about the way that Joe Montemurro had changed formation quite a few times to try and outfox your players, which he just couldn't manage to do, certainly in that first half, and how you were trying to deal with that. And just give me your reply, because I didn't quite finish before you got dragged away.
I thought we had a game plan. We knew that the rotation from Arsenal was going to be exceptional. We knew if we started to be dragged out of pockets and holes, that was what they wanted, because they got players that fill gaps where we couldn't be able to get into. So as long as we stayed in our lanes, as long as we was switched on and we was aggressive in areas where we needed to be, I thought it was credit to us that he had to change his formation a couple of times. And I think it just goes to show, like, Jordan Nobbs was sitting in between the two banks of four and just couldn't get on the ball, and she was obviously getting frustrated. So she then had to come in front of the back four, which then for us was perfect, because she still then had to break down two banks of four. And so it was a lot of credit to our girls, just to say we knew that it was going to be hard, we knew we needed to be disciplined, and we needed to be switched on and focused, and I thought they achieved that.
Yeah, you've had some big game derby experience, perhaps the most out of all the WSL sides. You played at Stamford Bridge, you've played at the London Stadium against West Ham. Did that help in preparing for today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the girls wasn't fazed at all by the occasion. And I thought we set the tempo in pre-season when we went to a Spanish tournament where we were... it was a tournament that was actually very competitive, and we wasn't going there to be... It was in a friendly atmosphere, and it was quite hostile. And if I'm honest, it was perfect. We had to take penalties as well in the final, where we was getting 8,000 people booing us. So all those experiences, all those moments and feelings has really helped us. And then obviously to play the opening game at Stamford Bridge against another fantastic team like Chelsea, we knew we was going to be up against it, and we didn't have the support that obviously we had today. And I thought the girls dealt with that really well, so they knew that they've got the confidence in each other, and they're not going to be hearing us screaming and shouting from the sideline. It was really about them taking ownership of the way they played. And I thought then going to London Stadium and beating West Ham on their turf just goes to show how far we've come. And then to have 38,000 people here today, I was just disappointed we couldn't score a goal for them.
I was wishing you to do that, from up in the press box.
I think that would have been the icing on the cake, obviously, to get the 3 points as well. But I thought we've come out of this game with a lot of credit. I think the club have done a fantastic job in terms of their support, the promotion of the way that we've dealt with the game. I thought the stadium's incredible. And what an occasion to play a women's game in the North London Derby.
Looking to the start of the season and what you would have hoped for by this point of the season, even though you've just lost, but actually a good performance, how do you evaluate how happy you are with how far you've come?
I think we've done exceptionally well. We obviously set little targets, but ultimately we want to win every game. We're winners. And the players are winners. That's what we expect. If you're playing for a big club of Tottenham Hotspur, that's what the expectations there. We've obviously come into this league with a lot of players that we brought forward from sort of that semi-professional and built some recruited really well. And those two groups of players have just sort of all of a sudden gelled really nicely in such a short space of time. And then to have those moments, those experience in big stadiums, to get results and to get points on the board, I think is massive, and it gives you the confidence. And today it was just, it was an incredible day, and I probably won't come down from this for a couple of days. And I think until you press the pause button and actually realise what we've achieved and what we've done, you probably won't realise.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to us. And I'll let you know, because I know that you've been on the rounds already doing all your media, but if you're quick, you might get one of those lovely cookies that are left.
Wow.
Wow.
Where am I getting them from?
From in the media room, I recommend.
You're listening to The Offside Rule, WSL edition, from Muddy Knees Media.
Karen Hills, Spurs manager there, and there were some lovely hugs at the end of that as well as she saw Jen O'Neill. This is the legend that sat next to me right now.
I used to play against Karen.
Exactly.
Yes. At least they used to win those games.
I think we need to remind people that you used to play. Yes, people probably don't realise.
Me and Karen in the dark ages. Karen was a great centre-back.
And what were you?
An average centre-back.
So some lovely moments here between Karen Hills and Jen O'Neill. And we were just saying she's never as a player or as a manager beaten Arsenal yet, but we don't think it'll be long.
I've thought that they might have got a point out of them today. Was close.
It was very close.
Until they lost.
So let's move on to Chelsea 1, Manchester United 0 next. A record attendance there as well at King's Meadow, 4,790, which in comparison to here doesn't sound grand. But
it's still a record-breaking attendance. Another one. Well, here with the story of the match, here's Florence Lloyd-Hughes for the Offside Rule.
Extremely tight game at King's Meadow as Chelsea cling on to win 1-0. Really, really, really exciting game, even though the scoreline might not show that. Penalty for Chelsea, Maren Mjelder put it away. It was won by Fran Kirby. She went down from a Millie Turner challenge. It did look controversial from the press box, and the referee had a bit of a tough day so far. So the Man U players and Casey Cerny were not happy about it, but on the replays on FA Player and on Twitter, it looked like the fair decision in the end. Millie Turner seemed to get the ball better. She was coming from behind. Kirby went down and the referee gave the spot kick. Man U also came so close to getting that equaliser in around the 80th minute when Ella Toon hit an amazing volley. Ann-Christine Berger tipped it onto the bar. It then bounced on her back and on the line. And unfortunately for Man United, it didn't go in. So Chelsea extend their lead at the top of the table. possible. A very composed win from Chelsea, and they hold on.
Football reporter Florence Lloyd-Hughes for the Offside Rule there. It's a great attendance at King's Meadow and a good atmosphere there as well. And some good news for Chelsea this week as well, Jen O'Neill.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with that crowd. I think that's capacity, isn't it?
Yeah,
That kind of crowd is amazing for the atmosphere, but for going forward for Chelsea and for the women's game. Sam Kerr, who's she?
You heard what Jay Montemurro had to say. I was trying to get, you know, fellow Aussie, and of course I'm getting him to talk about another team. But
and then he just went, actually, I don't know, Sam. And I was like, oh no.
Play it against her.
Yeah, play the game.
He always says, look.
Initial reactions from yourself.
Well, who can't be excited by that? I mean, she's the best striker in the world, isn't she? In terms of, you know, every league she's been in, she's picked up the golden boot, five consecutive golden boots in various leagues. So it's an incredible coup for the WSL and for Chelsea. I'm going to be the devil's sort of advocate here and say, well, what concerns me slightly is when clubs make these amazing signings, then are we going to end up with a top-heavy league where the top two or three sides can bring in these amazing players and other clubs are struggling? Because the WSL, if you look at it, is all about being competitive. And I'm also worried about English players getting their chances.
Getting kind of snuffed out. We were talking about the pay packet earlier.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say how much that is?
According to Australian press, her wages will be around the £300,000 a year mark, which is money that I'm sure, well, your facial expression says it all to me, that this is something you won't...
There are one or two players that might be getting sort of some...
With sponsorship deals and everything else.
But aren't they in other countries?
I don't know.
Jen O'Neill's been looking at the tax returns of
have you been on Companies House?
No, well, listen, it's difficult. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we know that after the Women's World Cup, players like Steph Horton and Ellen White, of course, will be making a lot more money. But when you look at this as a transfer and a transfer alone, what's it going to do? Is it a good thing for the league? Or is that too much disparity?
No, I don't think there's too much disparity now. It's just, I think you have to be mindful that we can control this before it runs away. The Men's Premier League ran away and is now, you can't really manage that, I don't think. It's become an entity that is, it's got away from the FA in the sense that they can't. We worry about the England men's team's development, and the WSL was set up to be competitive to aid the England women's team. Now we have to make sure that it continues to do that. On the flip side, three different nations or the TV companies have bought the rights to show the WSL around the world. In the very short space of time, the WSL is pushing itself, the Barclays WSL, is pushing itself right into the forefront.
Mm. I mean, I guess my other question off the back of that, as well as the wages and potential disparity within a team, and I wonder what that has in terms of dressing room effect. My other question would be, when it comes directly to Chelsea, is who makes way? Who makes way for Sam Kerr playing every week?
That's a good question, because Emma Hayes has talked in the last season or two about how difficult it is to keep a dressing room happy.
We had Anita Asante on our last pod, and I did ask her this very question. How does she keep everyone happy? And she said, do you know what? She doesn't. Yep. She doesn't keep everyone happy because she can't.
But do we see this starting to be the decline of potentially Frank Kirby not getting as many minutes? From an England Lionesses point of view, obviously we want our own English talent to come through. Are we starting to get the same debates we've had in men's football, that we're then going to not give our own talent enough opportunity?
I think that Frank Kirby could play really well with Sam Kerr.
Yeah,
I think
so
there are
I.
other players that will who haven't... No. For example, I'm a huge Ramona Bachmann fan, but I've never seen her produce the form I expect from her. Well,
yes.
Maybe in a cup final, the odd game.
She came on as a sub, didn't she, and scored, and she was good in that one. But if she's going to be used as an impact player for that, she's not going to be happy with that either, is she really?
Not at all. So, yeah, that's Emma Hayes' nice headache to have. And for us, it's fascinating to ruminate over starting lineups and...
Speaking of headaches, you've beautifully sewn this together, because we're moving on to West Ham, who already Matt Beard has been on social media to apologise to that section of supporters. There's a bit of a cryptic clue in his tweet, because he says about a tough 24 hours. I don't know what's been going on at the club, but they were thumped 5-0 away at Manchester City. Pretty dismal result for them.
We had Ellen White pop up with the first goal. That was across from a corner, came off Jill Scott, and then Ellen White picked up on the rebound. And what I loved about this goal, having
having watched back at the footage was the look on Ellen White's face was one of joy and surprise. And I just thought, oh, it does. She is back and she's properly back. And well, I think that will top off a great week for her as well.
She also nearly scored an absolute stunner.
Yeah, she
but
did.
But it hit the crossbar. I mean, we've only briefly gone across all of the highlights because we've been here at Spurs. But in terms of a result, your initial impressions, Jen, 5-0 Man City?
It's a thumping, isn't it? That you probably expect Man City at home to beat West Ham, but that's a big scoreline. That's a statement scoreline in one way or the other. Georgia Stanway made her 100th Man City appearance today.
She
really made herself amongst the headlines.
Yes.
She goals and then getting the red card.
Yes.
I don't know why she got sent off.
She got two yellows.
Oh, okay.
Lauren Hemp with her first goal of the season. There was a goal also for Tessa Willard as well. I think the main thing to focus on here, and I hate to kind of play the downside of it, is the woeful West Ham defence. I mean, both of Stanway's goals, awful defending, Hemp's too. They left Lauren Hemp in so much space. I mean, she had no one around her. And for Stanway's goals, it was literally West Ham defenders spectating as the goals went in. And that's what's so disappointing about it, I think.
They had too
awful.
Much space, didn't they?
Yeah. And Matt Beard will be upset with that. We know that Gilly Flaherty will be very upset with that as well. So look, I'm sure we'll hear more about the kind of analysis on this one as the week goes on.
It is just one game though. So
yeah.
You lose one game, you put it behind you and you move on.
But it feels like that's what they're having to do every week, because it sort of goes, we win one, we lose one, we win one, we lose one. It feels like that sort of momentum that we're getting every time we talk about West Ham.
Yeah, but you just need to be chalking up a couple of points, because that's what Spurs have done, that's what Man U have done coming up. You get a few games, you get a few results, you create a foundation, and then that the panic is out of the window, and it's a platform for you to build on and compete in games like Spurs did today.
Let's move on to Reading and Bristol City, another big stadium in action.
Feels like this could have been the game of the weekend.
Well, it was really exciting as we were watching the score updates come through in the early stages of the game that we're at today, the North London Derby. Bristol City ending up with the point for their relentlessness, and it was an amazing comeback by Bristol City as well. The visitors were 2-0 down and 3-1 down, so to end it 3-3, a great fight back from Bristol City. And I think Reading will be upset about this one.
Well, yeah, I think Reading will be upset. But first of all, I think we should potentially talk about Bristol City's staying power.
Yeah, but they've got big. They've got good, haven't they? What do you want me to
The fact that... Can we talk about the fitness, the fact that teams in the WSL now seem to be playing right to the end? And I think that used to be something that we saw drop off, didn't we?
Well, I think that any team that plays for Tanya Oxtoby goes right to the end, don't they? That it is about the guts to not give up, that never say die attitude. I was a bit miffed when I saw the goals coming in from there, because I thought it was at the wrong game.
Oh,
it's still 0-0 here. I had a pet lip on, but it's okay. I saw some in the end. But that is a great comeback from them.
And there were two goals in 2 minutes as well in this game from Reading as well. So yeah, it sounds like much excitement.
It will certainly help them as well in that battle against relegation. They do remain winless in the WSL, but all these points are going to help, because I think it could be quite tight down the bottom.
It's going to be a real dogfight at the bottom of the league, and every point is going to count. And we talk about how competitive is at the top, but I think there's what going to be four or five teams that are at the bottom, all looking at fixtures that they really need to get points in. And can we mention Brighton's win again?
Because we need to.
Just before we do, because I do speak about sort of West Ham and this constant feeling of like we're talking about the inconsistency with them. One of the things I feel I'm constantly saying when it comes to Reading is Farrah Williams and Anne-Hara James and the way that they're playing together. And is Farrah Williams being overlooked for England at the moment?
You speak to a lot of people, and they do say that her form is as good as it's been in a long time, and last season as well. And I think if you're going to pick players on form, then maybe she needs a shout, because she hasn't retired from England. But at the same time, and this may be an unpopular view, aren't we looking forward? Because is Farrah Williams the answer in 2 years' time for England? I don't know.
Well, she's 34,
So is she 34 something around that? Yeah, no, exactly. Quick update from BTS action here behind the scenes. Producer Abby skulking around the door of the little studio that we've set up for ourselves. Joe Montemurro's walked past asking his press officer if she wants chicken pizza. Apparently they love
told
that.
About that.
Apparently they love that in the dressing room. So there you go. For the ultimate in performance, choose chicken.
Well, I think it is a good shout out to mention.
Coming from a vegetarian, that makes me laugh so much.
And I do not endorse that opinion.
Well, you're talking about pizza, which is my favourite.
Is it?
Type of food. It's my favourite topic of conversation. Anurag James needs a big shout out. Was a great recruitment move by Kelly Chambers, and I think it was Tash Harding said that she was the one that was pushing for it.
I can't believe how well they've linked up so quickly in that team, because Williams and James look like they've been playing together for years and years.
They do, but that's very much the characteristic of the team. They're very organised, aren't they? Set piece specialists. Let's move on to Brighton Birmingham. We've been teasing this one, haven't we, throughout the show. At the Amex Stadium, this one. I haven't got the attendance here, actually, but I will try and find out in just a second. A first win for Brighton today, and in some style as well. It looked like a really good game, this one. The side were winless in each of their opening five league fixtures. I think one of the highlights of this one, the goal from Leah Le Garrick, absolute beauty from 25 yards out.
This might be one of the nicest of the weekend, I think.
Crashing in
a
shot off the underside of the crossbar for this one. So go and check it out if you haven't seen it. 4,130 at the Amex for this one, Jen.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Just in. The press.
Just in. We have
producer Abby is on the iPhone as well as listening in to the private confidential conversations of some of the WSL
the
elite.
Pizza orders. That's a cracking crowd at the Amex. And it's a brilliant win. I can't overstate what a good win that is for
Brighton. Yeah, it is a really good
win.
And
what a real hammer blow it is for Birmingham, who you sort of become increasingly concerned for. And you think the quality that's still there in Lucy Staniforth and Kerris Harrop, who's just a stalwart of that team, it's frustrating because you can kind of see them falling away from the big, well-funded clubs.
Passing by our open door and not able to escape, we've got Kim Little
no,
with us.
Because she went, Kim!
I've not seen you for quite a while, but then I just see an absolute corker from you today. You needed that, didn't you? That breakthrough that you got.
Yeah, we did. It was an incredible game to play in, to be honest. It was such a great atmosphere. But yeah, nice to get on the score sheet and get the win in the North London Derby. But yeah, it was just a really nice game to be involved in, to be honest.
I thought Kimmy missed some opportunities for some great photos there, because she was sort of huddled on around by the players, and I just really wanted to see like Kim Little up in the air like, it's my goal, the first one in the North London Derby here.
I'm sure there are some good photos doing
the
rounds.
Yeah, we've been sent some already. I got told I ran the wrong way because our fans were on the other side, but
I was
just in the moment, but
say you ran to the press.
Yeah, it's nice to score, but yeah, good team performance from everyone. And
did Spurs surprise you a little bit?
I wouldn't say so. I think they've done well at the start of this year. I think they've had some good results, and I think it was going to be hard, especially coming and playing here at the stadium. And yeah, they made it hard for us the first half, and we couldn't get the breakthrough, but we were patient and we got it in the second half.
You said it was enjoyable to play in. Is that because it was a full-blooded encounter?
One, the atmosphere and the amount of people who came and watched, and then obviously, secondly, because it's the North London Derby, and I think you could feel that. We've obviously not experienced that in this sense before. We've played them in the cup games. But them being the league, it did feel special.
We don't want you to miss the coach, so we'll keep it brief.
Well, also, according to Joe, the chicken pizza.
Oh, there was chicken pizza somewhere
there was pizza.
As well.
I didn't have any, actually.
Oh, yeah. Shocker. All right.
Oh, there it is. Oh, it's just gone past the door.
There is a man
that
could not
have been timed better.
Thanks, do you want some pizza? I'll go get you one.
Oh, no, it's fine. We'll be all right.
Well, the offside rule has aimed to be at nearly every single corner of this stadium. As we grab people walking past our room, we hear from the press conferences and also the mix zone as well. The offside rule's Tom Dean with us. Who did you catch up with in that mix zone, Tom?
I managed to catch Beth Mead as she was coming past. She was obviously the player of the match and played fantastically tonight. She was revelling in the atmosphere as well. And Leah Williamson, who very much enjoyed beating Spurs in their own backyard.
Oh, I beat Spurs today, definitely better. I love that.
And scoring for England?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm a defender. Scoring is just a nice little bonus. Don't get me wrong, it was lovely to score my first goal for England, but I'd take the team performance every day of the week. So, it was nice to be the hero in some aspects, I suppose. I say that lightheartedly the other day, but definitely you know, for the team, today was pretty special.
Great to hear from Leah Williamson. And how about from the Spurs contingency?
Yeah, I managed to catch Rhianna Dean, Spurs striker, on the way past. And Rhianna, like all the Spurs players tonight, were still full of smiles, which was lovely to see, despite obviously losing on such a grand occasion.
Yeah, I mean, obviously at half time it was at 0-0, and I think that most of the first half I thought that we was actually on top. We had a few chances that we could have probably finished in another game, but I think that it's all credit due to our hard work, and like obviously we got in those positions, we got the chance, and I think that that wouldn't have happened if we weren't on top and we weren't performing well.
Rhianna Dean there with high spirits, and Leah Williamson, thanks to both of those for speaking to the Offside Rule, and for you, Tom, for grabbing those interviews.
No problem at all.
Well, both managers Karen Hills, Juan Amoros and Joe Montemurro have been in the press conference. We've been tucked away in our little hidey hole, but we have grabbed, walking past our door, AP's Rob Harris. Rob, welcome along. So we've heard from both the managers, I guess, with kind of general insight on the game. What happened in the press conference? Any extra bonus points for either of them?
Well, obviously, there's a really big focus on the crowd. You can't get away from the fact it was a record crowd. Many people will often sort of say, are you dwelling too much on the attendances in the WSL? But certainly in this growth period and after the World Cup, you can't get away from that. And it's a key thing that generates interest as well and grabs people into when there's a record crowd. And then also, how do you build on this? I mean, Joe Montemurro has asked something quite interesting, which was, when are you going to hold a WSL game at home? He said, well, we do have home games already, but obviously it is...
Awkward pause. It is a good point though, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's that thing about, do you want to make your homes in Boreham Wood your home and to build the audience and the crowd there, as Chelsea have done at King's Meadow today? Or do fans want to get that big occasion at the Emirates? Certainly Tottenham really have pulled the crowd in. It's inevitable that's going to be a big talking point, but it's all about how do they keep the fans coming back, which is one of the underlying messages of the Barclays campaign as well.
Karen Hills, I'm interested with her section, because lots of people must have asked about this rivalry and the fact she used to play and that she's never really had much joy against Arsenal. Is that ever going to change? Are people going more down the route of the attendance headlines, certainly from the writers' contingency, or are they going with the rivalry Spurs-Arsenal?
Oh, there's definitely talk around the rivalry and building up the fieriness as well. You want to sort of capture some of that passionate cross team rivalry and to actually build up so there's a bit of spicy edge to the fixture going forward as well. And the fact it was not a complete rout, it wasn't one-sided, is very good for the actual games going forward. But it's how you build on that and how you use derbies as cross football to bring the fans in.
We've also been digesting the news of Sam Kerr, that she's going to be arriving on these shores soon enough, and I gather that came up in the press conference as well.
It did. One person asked, a younger journalist, said they were an Arsenal fan and they're a bit scared of Sam Kerr's arrival. Obviously, she'll start to play from January. And Joe Montemurro was sort of taken a bit aback by that. Sort of his face really showed a bit of shock. Why would anyone be scared? And he actually made the point, I'm not scared of Sam Kerr. And he was suggesting almost the fact, you know, Chelsea do have more of an ability to sign the players they want, whether that's alluding to the salary cap, which we
heard. Was there a follow-up on that?
There wasn't a chance. It was the final.
That was the final part due to come.
But we did hear from Kelly Simmons before the game today in the press conference room. And as director of professional games, she was talking about the fact that the salary cap might be relaxed in a way, depending on what the clubs want. Because I think, you know, it's that balancing act. You know, you want the teams to be able to bring in some of the best players from around the world to make this the destination for women's football. But you want to maintain the competitive balance.
Well, it's certainly a great line for the WSL, isn't it? Sam Kerr's arrival and who knows what will follow. Rob Harris, thank you very much.
Great to join you.
Well, before we move on to the next set of fixtures in the WSL, it is the Women's Football Weekend as we speak, and some Championship games in action as well. Let's just run through the scores and I'll maybe get you to pick out one of these, Jen, that takes your eye. 3-1 to Durham, who played the London Bees. Lewis were beaten 2-1 by Sheffield United. London City Lionesses, their good run continues. 2-1 winners away from home for them against Crystal Palace. Aston Villa, again, another good scoreline from them. They're away from home at Coventry United, 3-2 winners in that one. And it was all square, 1-1 between Charlton and Leicester.
You want me to pick one result out?
I want all you just because we've not got much time. So all kind of to be predicted.
Looking at the championship results today, the top four won, but I think Aston Villa against Coventry 3-2 sounds like a cracking game. Coventry stepped up to this level and still competing, but Villa maintaining their place at the top.
There will have been West Midlands rivalry as well in that one. That was a good one to pick out, I think, Jen. Next week's fixtures, let's run through these quickly. This is in the WSL. The games that you can expect to see, hopefully all on the FA Player. If it could be the same as this weekend, that would be great. Manchester United against Brighton and Hove Albion. Bristol City against Manchester City. Everton against Spurs. Arsenal take on Liverpool. Oh. Birmingham against Chelsea.
Lindsay.
And West Ham United against Reading.
Do you want a final bit of Joe Montemurro intel from producer Abby, who's still sort of skulking around at the entrance to this room that we're in?
But she's only skulking Joe Montemurro.
I know, she's skulking stroke stalking. I'm not quite sure which one's the more apt. Upon leaving, apparently Joe, who was with Vivian Miedemar, showed her the press conference room here, which is amazing, and just said, "It's unbelievable, mate." I don't think he said mate at the end, but...
I'm sure he didn't say "and there's Bruce and Sheila" either.
But clearly, Joe Montemurro very impressed with the facilities here, as we are. And it was cold today, but not mega, mega cold. As we've been recording, little bits of fluff have come off.
And you say not mega, mega cold. I've just seen how many layers Jen O'Neill's been wearing today.
Jenny Two Coats, that's what you can call me.
Jenny Two Coats.
Two coats and how many layers?
Oh, four it was in total. I had gloves on. And I'm now about to like faint. I'm so hot.
Well, I have thermal layers on and the jumper of a dead woman, as we were joking earlier. No,
this is true, Jen. True story.
True story. My mother was gifted this by by the estate of a dead woman, and it didn't fit my mother, and so it came to me. And it's a lovely cat. It's really warm.
It's nice.
It's a lovely cashmere.
I wish I hadn't stroked it, but it's lovely.
Grey turtleneck. And Lindsay Hooper spilled coffee all over her jumper.
Yeah. Less about that, the better, because it was brand new.
The life and times of the offside rule. Clothing choices.
Well, that is everything for this week. So until next time, get us on social media. We're at Offside Rule Pod, and online it's offsiderulepodcast.com, where we have got loads and loads of women's football articles. We actually spent time with a lot of our writers this weekend at Junkyard Golf in Shoreditch. They're fired up and they've been producing articles like there's no tomorrow.
You make them seem like they're like, brr, 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 but no, there is some great women's and men's content up on the site, so do check it out. Jen, thanks for joining us, and maybe we'll meet again in another big stadium soon.
Please.
I've actually been with Jen for two weekends in a row, so I feel like she's my new best mate now.
You can be the work wife.
Lucky you, Jen. That's it for now, guys. See you later.
You've been listening to The Offside Rule WSL Edition, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com. And for more from The Offside Rule, head to our website, offsiderulepodcast.com.